Thank you for reading that, David. It was done very well. It's a very powerful text talking about the power of the tongue. And I want to ask you a question as I begin this message this morning, words that bring death or words that bring life. Please don't raise your hand or voluntarily be demonstrative in your answer. But have you ever said anything that after you said it, you wish you hadn't? Oh, yeah. Probably some of you did that on the way to church this morning. You ever see couples come through the back door and, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing fine. And meanwhile, they had a fight on the way to church. But words can be awfully powerful. Words are very significant. You know, they could impact you in a positive way, or they could impact you in a very negative way. It's amazing. I love words. I love wordsmiths. I love reading books. I love writing. Because I think words, that's why you could just get so immersed in a book. Because you can visualize what the writer's trying to say. That's why it's such a powerful commodity. I have a lot of international friends, lots of folks that come from other countries. And I know for those of us who are born in America and we have learned English from an early age, we think English is a very easy language, and it's not. It's one of the most difficult languages to learn. And so, you know, you take my wife, for example, who comes from Korea, had to learn English. It's very confusing because of the multiple meanings of a singular word can have. You know, like the word two. I mean, there's different ways that you could spell that word and it has a different meaning. But what about oxymorons? I mean, they confused my international friends more than anything else because it's two words put together that have opposite meaning and yet used in the same definition. And so I had a Korean friend of mine one time who said, what were they thinking when they put this together? For instance, alone together. They couldn't understand that. Oh, awfully good. It just doesn't make sense. Clearly misunderstood. Doesn't make sense. He was legally drunk. That really confused my friend. That was pretty ugly. Same difference, just all together. Words are amazing. Communication is amazing. And I think that's why the writer of James was trying to tell us that what comes out of our mouths through words has the power of life and the power of death. Out of those words, we can bring death or life, but we could also bring peace or war. If world leaders are speaking, what they say matters to the rest of the world. And so we can't be flippant with the way we speak our words as individuals. Words are extremely powerful. They must be used carefully. Now, Proverbs 18:21, which is on the cover of your bulletins this morning, it says, the tongue has the power of life or death. And that's what I want to preach about this morning, about how we use our words. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 12, verse 23, he said, by your words, you are either acquitted or by your words, you're condemned. Okay, it's by your words that are going to show your fruit, whether it's rotten fruit or good fruit. I think that's what he meant. Proverbs 12, 18 says, reckless words pierce like a sword to the receiver of those words. But a tongue of the wise, Solomon says, can bring healing rather than woundedness. So words are important. You know, it's just a matter of 60 seconds. I've seen it done. And you know what? I may have done it myself. I am not standing up here trying to acquit myself. But in 60 seconds, you could cut a person into ribbons just like that with your words. A couple having a fight before going to church. Now, some of you younger folks here may not remember Zorro. That's what the tongue could do. could cut you to ribbons. The Bible says a kind word can cheer a person up who's weighted down and who's anxious. Just a kind word can lift that person above his or her circumstances. And I can tell you that negative words could take on a life of their own, and that's the craziness of it. One misguided word, one rumor without supporting facts can ignite an entire body of people like a raging forest, James says. A little spark, a little flick of a match, a little word that comes out of our mouths could start a forest fire. Words are powerful. And again, I say, they possess the power of life or the power of death. The Bible says that we should never speak in haste. And you know, I got to remind myself of that often. Because there is more hope for a fool, the Bible says, than him. We should always think before we speak. If there's any doubt in our mind, I have a little phrase that I say, delay and pray. If you think you want to release it, delay for a second and pray. Lord, help me what I'm thinking, that it would not come out of this hole in my face. Think about the words you may have used this week in your conversations, in your communicating with others. Were they uplifting? Or were they sort of, in a way, tearing down of another individual in the workplace, the family, a neighbor, whomever? Think about our conversations. When I was a young man, my father, who was a World War II veteran, he used to tell us that if you went to the USO clubs, when you had a little R&R or a pass, there were signs all over the USOs and the service clubs, and the signs said, loose lips sink ships. How many remember that? Yeah. Loose lips sink ships. And what they were trying to say to the GIs and the Marines and the sailors is that be careful when you go out, because many of them went out to the bars and all of a sudden they start drinking and they're around. And I don't mean this as a sexist thing, but most of those combat troops at that time, not like today, many of our women are combat troops, were men. And so spies, networks would put beautiful and pretty women in these bars, and these guys would get a couple of drinks in them, and all of a sudden they would start sharing what ship they were on, when their ship was sailing, what their destination was. And guess what? Through those loose lips, a ship would be sunk, and thousands of men would die as a result of loose lips. And so I think about that sign my father spoke of, loose lips sink ships. And I will tell you, loose lips will sink a marriage. Loose lips will sink a church committee. I didn't get any amens out of that one. Yay. Now, it doesn't happen here. It only happens with the Lutherans, okay? I'm friends with the Lutheran pastor, so I've always used the Lutherans. Communications experts have said this. I don't know if it's true. And again, I'm not a sexist, and I don't make this stuff up. It's a study they did. They said women speak on average 20,000 words a day. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. It is in my house. Excuse me. She's upset with me now. See what happens with the tongue? Huh? Delay and pray didn't work just now. I failed, she said. And then they say men speak 7,000 words a day. Now, I don't know if that's true or not either. But I think we speak too much. That's probably our problem. And we got to be careful of those 20,000, 7,000, 10,000, however many words we speak in a day, we need to be careful. Proverbs 21:23 says, he who guards his mouth and his tongue keeps himself from calamity. I love the Message translation. Listen to this. Watch your words, hold your tongue, and you'll save yourself from a lot of grief. And let me tell you, most of the grief that happens in my life is self-inflicted. Have you ever said something and you saw the words leave your mouth? and you're trying. You remember the Titanic? Come back. Come back. It's too late. It hit its target, and you're sleeping on the couch tonight. I don't think there's anyone here this morning who didn't at least once have something shoot out of our mouths that we regretted and wish we hadn't said. And so Solomon makes some wise observations in Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. We need to hit the pause button. We really need to delay and pray, think and pray before we go off and say something we're going to regret. I love what Abraham Lincoln once said. Listen to this. I chuckle, but it's so real. Listen to what he said. It's better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. He was a pretty wise guy, a wise man. There's danger points. There's times when we really need to be careful, when we could be sucked into a conversation that's going to ruin everything. Like when somebody says something rude and provocative to us. I know what that feels like. It gets under your skin and you want to respond. Delay and pray. When you think you know something more than somebody else and you want to make it known that you know more than they know, delay and pray. When you want to say something controversial or bad about another individual to a third party, delay and pray. Think about that. When you want to judge or criticize another individual, delay and pray. When you feel like you're always compelled to correct somebody else because they don't do it the way you do it or I do it, they don't feel the way you feel, they don't have the same philosophy that you have or I have, and you want to speak out in a negative way, delay and pray. Look what's happening in our nation today, and I don't bring politics from the pulpit, so don't even think about it. I'm not going there. I think every American needs to make their own choice on where they fall on the time continuum. But I am saying we're so divided. If we could only delay and pray before we speak. Martha told me as we prayed with the choir before coming in, she says, the theme today, the thread that's going to go throughout the service is peace. And man, do we need peace in our lives, in our families, in our community, in our nation, in our world. And so the Bible clearly says, before speaking up, listen up. A fellow pastor friend of mine put on Facebook that the word silent and listen have the exact same words. I never knew that. I had to go back and actually try to transpose them. Oh, he's right. Silent and listen have the same letters, I meant, in the word. That's why God gave us two ears and one mouth. I think God was onto something. We learn so much by listening. We become encouragers when they do that, because people that are struggling want a listening ear that will listen to what they have to share rather than always being quick to give advice, always quick to say something, to shoot from the hip. And oftentimes when we do that, we become discouragers rather than encouragers. I often find that people who are encouragers, think about this, are the people we want to be around. I like being around people who are encouragers, people that are upbeat. And I'm not saying we don't have our bad moments and we're not down in the mouth and our emotional status is not always up. I understand that. I get that. But we like to be around encouragers in the main. So why not challenge ourselves this week to prayerfully and consciously attempt to add something encouraging to our conversations this week, right? When we're conversing with somebody and there's a contentious topic that's brought up, say, I'm going to be the one who's going to introduce something encouraging into this conversation. A gentle and calm voice doesn't mean we're weak. Meek doesn't mean weak according to Scripture. We are to be meek the same way Jesus was meek, and yet he was strong. We also need to learn how about let's cutting people a little slack once in a while? Seriously, we shouldn't get bent out of shape because things aren't going our way or people are not thinking exactly the way we think. Sometimes we just need to overlook things. I read a book somebody gave me when I was in Florida, and the name of the book was Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, and It's All Small Stuff. Do you know most fights are over small stuff? And we got to be careful about that, friends. We need to learn how to agree to disagree. There's another practice, and I'm only going to glance over this because it does deal with words. And that's something that none of us ever engage in. It's the Lutherans that do this all the time. Gossip. Woo! That could be a whole sermon in and of itself. Proverbs 11:13 says, a gossip betrays confidence, but a trustworthy person can keep a secret. Proverbs 16:18 says, a gossip separates close friends. And what I am saying is, other people ought to trust that what they say to us will not be shared to a third party in the form of gossip. What I like to do at times, I like to ask a person, would you mind if I shared this with somebody? And if they say no, the answer is no. And we need to be able to be trusted with those words that are shared with us. It's amazing how gossipy stories take on a life of their own. I was in a checkout line at Stop and Shop, and I don't know how many, it's now the Inquirer, but it used to be the National Inquirer. I mean, a real trustworthy newspaper. I mean, you talk of, you know, where news that's fit to be printed. And these two women were looking at a headline in that National Enquirer, or that Enquirer, about two celebrities in Hollywood. And I want to tell you that by the time it was their turn to put their stuff on the belt, it wasn't even the story in the National Enquirer, it was worse. And I thought to myself, this is the same newspaper that had a headline, Oregon woman gives birth to an extraterrestrial baby. Very noteworthy, newsworthy publication. I read it every day. You know what's the best way to handle gossip? Avoid it. So if someone comes to you to share a juicy story, tell them you don't want to hear it. Seriously. I know it's hard to do because we all like juicy stories. So I don't want to hear it. Tell them to go to the source to find out if it's actually true or not. And then if they do discover it's true, go and try to bring peace into that situation rather than stirring the pot and creating a bigger problem than it already is. Because I can tell you, if you read Scripture, it says avoid gossip because gossip troubles the heart of God. Wow. Pray to be a peacemaker. Proverbs 17:14 says, starting a quarrel is like breaching a dam, so drop the matter before dispute breaks out. I believe there would be less divorces if this was practiced. I believe that there would be happier families if this was practiced. I believe the work environments that we work in would be more pleasant to work in if we practiced these biblical principles. And frankly, I believe organizations, a country, the world, even the church would be a better place if we practiced these biblical principles. I believe it has been proven that most of what we fight about is not important to begin with. It's a non-essential item. And I say this, let us start off this new year. Let us begin during these troubled times to be peacemakers rather than troublemakers, I guess. That's a good word. So in conclusion, it all comes down to this. Friends, this is what Jesus was striking at. It's a matter of the heart. It's all about the heart because Jesus said in Matthew 12:34, he says, for out of the overflow of one's heart, the mouth speaks. So he says, whatever's in here is going to come out of here. The mouth reveals what's in the heart. Maybe we need to get along with God. Maybe we need to get along with Jesus, who's also called the great physician in the Bible, and to ask him to have a little heart surgery, because I want to tell you, no one does better heart transplants than God Almighty. He'll take that heart, he'll transplant it, and he'll change it. How do I know? He changed this heart. So no one could take that from me. No atheist, agnostic, nobody who doesn't believe in faith could actually come my way and tell me there is no God, because I know there is a God because he lives in me. Maybe we need to repent of some of the things that we have done. Go to the individual and say, I'm sorry, because I want to tell you, where we really mess up is that we don't like cleaning up our own messes. We always look at somebody else's mess. Jesus talked about, we got a plank in our eye and we're looking at this little, you know, this little splinter in the other person's eye. And so if we made a mess, clean it up. Maybe we need to ask God to take control of our tongues. I think that's a great thing to do. Lord, help me use my mouth that it would reflect your character and not some of the things that I think and feel in my own life. Maybe we will increase our time with the Lord. Remember I told you about the one-year Bible? I've been reading that every day. And if you bought that one-year Bible and you're reading it, maybe we could talk about it during fellowship hour. Today it was about Joseph being reunited with his brothers who sold him into slavery. I got that inside of me now. Jesus multiplying the fishes and the loaves. That was in today's reading. It's here. Because once we get the Word of God inside of us, then we have something to give away when we face those troubled moments. It's all a matter of choice, a decision on our part, whether to have living water flow from us or toxic waste. Wow. I think we all know the right choice. If there was ever a time, my friends, for Christians, believers in the church, to stand up and be a voice of reason and peace, it's today. If there was ever a time that the church needs to stand for good and peace and reconciliation and love and acceptance and forgiveness and grace and mercy and all those things that we want from God to extend to our neighbor, it's today. Because I believe if we do that, we will create a better world than it is right now. And so, Lord God, I just pray this prayer. It's not an indictment on us this morning. I know we're human, and I know we have humanistic tendencies, and I know that there are times when we kind of let our mouths get us in trouble. But help us in this new era of life, this new year that you've given us, this new time in history. Help us to be the peacemaker, the bridge builder, the one who extends our hands and our hearts in love, the ones who will encourage rather than discourage, the ones who will sow peace rather than chaos. Help us to be the ones who introduce hope into a world that often feels very hopeless. And we ask this in the name of Christ, our Lord, the Prince of Peace. Amen.